Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. As promised, Scott Wieman here with us, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. It's always great when Scott is here. Sometimes when he's here, he's not here now because he moved away from Southern California, but he's back with us in Southern California today. If you have questions about addiction and recovery, certainly from a Catholic perspective, maybe you have questions about your own faith as part of the recovery process or whatnot, but anybody who wants to know about addiction and recovery is welcome to call 888-318-7884. Your questions about yourself, about family members, about friends, whatever. If you have questions about addiction and recovery and you'd like good, solid answers, Scott Wieman is the guy for you. 888-318-7884. He's also the author of a book called The Seven Sacraments and... No, this... Okay,
come on, Cy. The 12 steps and the sacraments.
I started out wrong, and then I couldn't recover. The 12 steps and the sacraments, yes. And you're here in Southern California because you're going to be doing a retreat with, is it leaders of groups or anybody who's in Catholic in Recovery?
Yeah, we've got a Catholic in Recovery retreat taking place at the Prince of Peace Abbey up in Oceanside this weekend. We have seven or eight of those retreats throughout this year. Many of them have happened. And a weekend gathering for people, not just leaders, but anyone who's seeking to deepen their recovery, begin their recovery. Mm-hmm. Those retreat weekends are a wonderful conglomeration of people who are new to 12-step addiction recovery. Maybe they've been struggling with a variety of different addictions, compulsions, or unhealthy attachments, or impacted by a loved one's addiction as well. Mm-hmm. And then we get plenty of people who have also been in recovery for quite some time, decades even, and the mixture, and everyone in between. And the mixture of that really brings to life, I think, just a beautiful representation of the church.
Well, that's wonderful. That's my town, by the way, mm-hmm. Prince of Peace Abbey, right up the hill from where I live. 888-318-7884 is the number. I don't know why I felt it was important to say that, but for some reason, since you're going to be in my town, it felt very important there for a second. 888-318-7884 is the number. If you have questions about addiction and recovery, if they are faith-related questions, that is perfectly fine. But Scott has always been willing to take whatever questions come on addiction and recovery, and we love doing these hours. One of the reasons we love it, unfortunately, is that we're talking about something that's pervasive. Mm-hmm. There's really none of... I don't know any people who have never dealt with addiction or recovery issues in their life.
Yeah, whether it's their own or right. loved ones. Addictions... Well, you say addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, and giving a few examples that might include alcoholism or drug addiction, compulsive eating behaviors, just as many people seeking recovery for food-related addictions, either compulsive overeating or restricted eating, mm-hmm. Lust addiction, pornography addiction, gambling, technology addiction. We're just starting to get into the realm of serving people with internet and technology addiction, which is becoming pervasive. And codependency, right. other things, the family impact of addiction as well.
So if you've got a question in any of those areas, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. What's the interrelationship between addiction and recovery and faith and mental health? Are these intersecting areas?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's really valuable to be seeing and treating the person as a whole person.
Yes.
I think this is where our faith comes to life. Not just getting our biological symptoms met at this place and our mental health issues here and our spiritual needs met here, but rather integrating all of that. In fact, back, one of the reasons why I moved to Nashville is to do some work as a mental health therapist, and I'm working the organization or a group called Fiat Integrative Health, where it's a Catholic doctor's office or it's a clinic, really, that treats primary care, pediatric care, offers women's health, and also is doing mental health as well. But to be able to go under one roof and find all of those needs met and being able to work with a team that can collaborate on care and is just wonderful. So I think that you will probably see more and more models like that pop up around the United States and elsewhere. But yeah, I don't think that it's necessary, or actually it does a disservice to us when we try to separate our mental health needs, our addiction recovery needs, our faith needs. Those are all so intertwined that we ought to look at them as a whole.
888-318-7884 is the number. You know, I think I've said this to you probably many times, Scott, but one of the things I think that Catholic in Recovery is part of is a movement in the church to recover the healing ministry, the healing, not just like having a hospital or having an insurance plan or something, but the healing ministry of Christ. I feel like you're part of a movement that's doing more and more of that.
It's a huge blessing to see.
Yeah.
When I started, I mean, we've been doing this for several years, and you know, you've gotten to kind of track the growth of Catholic in Recovery. Now we have about 125 active Catholic in Recovery in-person meetings.
Beautiful.
Around the U.S. and Canada, a few in Mexico as well. About 75 weekly virtual meetings that take place that serve
Wow.
people all over the world. Just a few weeks ago, we started a group that starts a Catholic in Recovery meeting that begins at 7:30 a.m. Central European Time, 6:30 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time. I think that's like 10 p.m. Pacific Time. And serving people throughout Europe and throughout the world who are seeking to be part of a community, to recognize that they're not alone.
Yep.
You know, I think that's a big part of the battle, is just the alleviation of shame that comes when you recognize that there are other people who have experienced something like you have. And I hope that, by taking some calls today and by having this discussion, that some of the listeners who are out there who may be thinking that their situation might be hopeless might transform that thought a bit.
888-318-7884 is the number. Lines beginning to fill up, but let me just give you the place where you can find out about Catholic in Recovery, and I will never get the name of the book wrong again until Scott comes back for the next time, and then I'll get it wrong again. The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, but you also have a workbook. You have a Catholic in Recovery workbook.
Yep.
But just give us the website and what people will find there at the website.
Yeah, CatholicInRecovery.com. That's a place where you can find a lot of articles, education related to addiction recoveries, written by Catholic in Recovery community members and contributors on a variety of topics. In addition to that, you'll find the directory of Catholic in Recovery meetings. So find an in-person meeting near you, or you'll see a full calendar of virtual meetings available. Those virtual meetings, some of them are general recovery meetings, serving people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. Others are specific to different addiction types. Others are prayer groups where people can gather, and you know, we have a group each night that recites the rosary together. Every morning, twice a morning, we have a group that gathers to read the daily mass readings and reflect upon them as they relate to our recovery. The second half of that meeting gathers to pray the rosary together. And some other meetings that gather together to integrate mental health healing with addiction and
yeah.
all sorts of things.
I hope people, you know what I hope is that some priests will check it out who may not be familiar with it, because I think it can be helpful to a priest to have a place where he can say, go check this out. These people can be helpful to you.
Yeah, and more too, we're getting into, people are reaching out to us where there may not be a Catholic in Recovery meeting at their parish or in their community,
yeah.
but making referrals to virtual meetings. You know, there's nothing that really beats, I think, the in-person component of sitting across the table or the room from someone and being able to see the nonverbal cues that just recognize, like, it's going to be okay, I've been there, I understand. The eyes, which I think are really a reflection of the eyes of Christ. But also there are a lot of benefits to be able to attend a meeting from the comforts of one's own home. The anonymity mm-hmm. that certainly comes
right.
from that, you know, maybe that fear that might keep us from attending something in our own hometown, but being able to connect with people who can share our own stories and tell us that healing is possible and share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now.
I have carried on the conversation with Scott long enough. Lots of people want to talk with him, so to the phones we will go. If you have questions about addiction and recovery, whatever your circumstances are, whatever your faith situation might be, you're welcome to call and ask Scott, 888-318-7884. Sarah is in South Carolina. Sarah, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
My question is about obsessive and compulsive disordered behaviors. And I know there's a strong link to addicts with that, and I have a family member that's exhibiting those types of, I guess, disordered thoughts and compulsive and obsessive thoughts. It hasn't gone into addiction, but I can see how it could. I feel like his internal medicine doctor has put him on, an antidepressant and given him an anti-anxiety. And I don't feel like that's the way to go. I think he needs, like, real therapy, behavioral, cognitive. Are there any Catholic programs that people like that, not with a full-blown addiction, but exhibiting those kinds of behaviors, underlying behaviors?
Yeah, well, thank you, Sarah. Thanks for reaching out. And I can imagine that as a concerned loved one that it's not easy just to navigate this, with your loved one going through this. And, you know, this is something that I see a lot, both in recovery fellowships and in my, mental health and therapeutic work, is certainly the overlap between addictions and mental health. And sometimes we want to try to figure out, like, what's causing which. Are my mental health challenges or emotional health challenges a result of this dependence upon a behavior or a substance? Or is the dependence upon a behavior or a substance just my means to cope with this mental health challenge? And the answer is both and, as many answers are in our faith. So I think that it's really important and valuable to be addressing both in a holistic manner. If you lived in the state of Tennessee, I would recommend to check out Fiat Integrative Health for, finding the treatment for all those things under one roof. And but at the same time, I think especially within people of faith, people of Catholic faith, perhaps, that compulsiveness can come, this compulsive thoughts will oftentimes reveal themselves in scrupulosity. And, this compulsive need to be doing things right. And that's not always about what we're doing wrong, but it's about what we're failing to do right. And that can lead one into a lot of what you had mentioned, anxiety, challenges, and, kind of behavioral challenges that are means to cope with that. And so, I think that you're spot on in recognizing the needs. Really, this is where addiction recovery, addiction challenges, mental health challenges, and spiritual challenges converge to really, we don't need to, flesh them out. And, you go see a doctor who's going to look at the problem from a biological standpoint, and they're going to provide a biological solution. And, you go to see a priest, and he's probably going to suggest a spiritual solution. And, both of those things in the right place and right order are certainly necessary. But, I think that it's important to see the whole person as a whole person.
Sarah, I have to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. Lots more folks online. One line open right now. If you want to talk addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
Carry the faith wherever you go. Watch your favorite EWTN show, series, or special, or listen to your favorite EWTN radio program at any time, day or night. EWTN On Demand brings all your favorites instantly. Download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com today.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I hope that you will check out Catholic in Recovery. Even if it's not at the moment feeling like something central to your life, there will be people that you can recommend it to and share it with. And with the combination of the online stuff and the in-person meetings, really growing into something that can be of service to the whole Catholic community and to the community beyond the Catholic community. Check out CatholicInRecovery.com. Scott Wieman, our guest. We're talking addiction and recovery. We go now to Michigan. Jenny is in Michigan. Jenny, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call.
Happy to.
My addiction has to do with hoarding. It's major. I've lost thousands of dollars. for years and years of hoarding things in a variety of places that I have to pay for to keep the things. And everything seems important. I'm highly emotional, highly sensitive, like anyone else. I've had my share of hurts in my life. I've taken medicine, been counseling, obviously praying. All those things, seen various spiritual counselors through the Catholic Church. I've improved a tiny bit, but I am pretty close to being penniless because I am still so addicted to this hoarding. And I'm calling to see if you could give me any suggestions for this.
Yeah, thank you, Jenny. Thank you for sharing and coming forward, and please know that you're not alone. You know, this is not an uncommon dilemma that I've heard people come to, you know, come to Catholic in recovery with or seek through counseling. And just like, you know, we describe addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. And, you know, I listed off a few things at the top of the show, but that also includes hoarding or, you know, obsessive. This is an extension of a lot of compulsive thoughts and behaviors. And just like for the alcoholic, one drink is too many and 1,000 is never enough. It's, you know, it's kind of a disease of more. And hoarding falls in a similar category. Now, that might manifest itself in some ways biologically or, you know, cognitively slightly. But, you know, this is a spiritual disease, whereas the hoarding or the alcohol use or the compulsive eating behaviors are but a symptom of a deeper spiritual malady. And, you know, my advice to you, Jenny, would be to find a group nearby. There are 12-step groups that do serve people that struggle with hoarding or cluttering. Clutterers Anonymous is a group that will, you know, help you. And there are people like you who have been in your shoes, who have found freedom from the darkness that you're experiencing that you described to us so well. And my heart goes out to you. And you can also find people within Catholic in Recovery who have been through something similar. And, you know, even if they don't share the same addiction challenge with you, you'll still notice if you listen to the similarities that your challenges are not too different from someone who is challenged by other compulsive behaviors or pursuit of substances. Unhealthy attachment, I think, really. Unhealthy attachment to goods or things or, you know, because by yourself, you certainly need God to help to overcome this, to overcome the compulsive dependence upon stuff, things that are certainly just getting in the way. And I think that by finding someone who has been through your shoes, who can look into your eyes and say, I know exactly how you feel. I know exactly what you're going through. You don't ever have to do this again. And they'll walk with you. They'll share with you how they were in a similar place, how they found freedom. And it's going to be a slow, you know, don't expect a perfection right away, but making spiritual progress through overcoming these compulsions is possible. I want to make that very clear. It is possible. And that might mean someone coming with you and just, you know, going through this stuff, you know, one day at a time and clearing some things out, making some progress. But you don't have to do that alone. There are plenty of people who are out there who would be willing to walk with you through the process.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you for the call. I'll just say the website again, CatholicInRecovery.com, for anybody who is interested. And on we go. Every line full now for Scott Wieman. We'll go to Howell, Michigan. Gina, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Gina, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me. So my question comes as more of a need for advice like the other callers. I am coming up on 5 years sober from my alcohol addiction.
Praise God.
I started my sobriety journey. Praise God. Yes, that's right. I started my sobriety journey by attending 90 meetings in 90 days. And then right after that, I started to dive into building a relationship with a sponsor. But I found that I had a very difficult time connecting with any sponsor who was willing to work with me because they were not Catholic. And so I'm really proud to say that this is the first time that I've heard of Catholics in Recovery. So I think that that'll be a huge resource to me in moving forward. But in terms of finding someone local through some of the chapters, the AA chapters that are nearby. What do you suggest is the best path or best way to navigate finding someone who can work through the steps with me? And I've admittedly never worked a single step because of this kind of trouble. Someone who will be able to work the steps with me in a Catholic lens, through the Catholic lens.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Gina. Praise God again for the freedom that you found and for sharing that hope with all who are listening. I think that sponsorship is a vital part of recovery. And finding a sponsor is someone who, just like a confirmation sponsor, is going to walk with us as we're approaching something new. The primary role of a sponsor is to take one through the 12 steps and to place our hands in the hands of God. And that is such a gift. I mean, there's nothing like the relationships that I found with sponsors in the past, with current sponsor. As my man who saved my life was, my first sponsor, who after a meeting I showed up, was so full of shame and darted across the room, looked me in the eyes and said, "You don't ever have to drink again. I know exactly how you feel." And we read through the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous together, and we were overlapping that with the Bible. Now, he wasn't Catholic, but had a great understanding of Catholic faith, and I think that's a really important part of sponsorship. Let me be clear, your sponsor, it's not essential that they share the exact same faith as you, but their experience, strength, and hope through recovery can be vital. Now, they ought to at least have respect for our faith, and if you're not finding that in a sponsor-sponsee relationship, then it's probably time to find someone new. But also, this is not an uncommon question, is how do I find a good Catholic sponsor? We've gotten that question so often that we put together a sponsorship guide, a Catholic in Recovery sponsorship guide, which you can find on our website, one of many other resources that are on CatholicInRecovery.com. In fact, Gina mentioned 90 meetings in 90 days, and that's often a, suggestion for getting our recovery started so that we can find some consistency and, just hear messages of hope and understanding and meet and connect with people who have been in our shoes and have found a solution to our challenge and problem. In fact, at CatholicInRecovery.com, you'll also find we put together a pathway to recovery, which does exactly that, walks with you through your first 90 days of recovery. And through emails and accountability and resources and directing you to navigate those early and in such foundational days of our recovery. Now, I would say that attending a Catholic in Recovery meeting is a good place to find a Catholic sponsor. Showing up to meetings, whether they're Catholic in Recovery meetings or secular 12-step meetings, and making it clear, I'm looking for a sponsor, I'm willing to do the work, I want to work through the steps, and showing that commitment is really the best way to find a sponsor. Just like the way to find a Catholic mentor would be go to places where Catholics are hanging out. A good place to find a sponsor in recovery is to go where people who have found our solution are hanging out, and usually that's at 12-step recovery meetings. But yes, many questions, like this: how do I find a good sponsor? What should I be looking for in a sponsor? What will I be doing with my sponsor? Those are all answered in the Catholic in Recovery sponsorship guide. But what I'll note is, I would do that. Go to, local meetings. Now, if you show up at a secular 12-step meeting and say, I am looking for a specifically Catholic sponsor, that may or may not fly depending on where you live and the acceptance of Catholicism and the outward expression of such in a meeting. But you know what? You don't need everyone in the room to be your sponsor, just the one person. So, make it clear what you're looking for. But I would say do so not in a subtle way at all, but in a way that just expresses your devotion and your desire to connect with someone who shares a similar faith.
Gina, thank you. I do hope that was helpful to you. We're talking addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. And we go off now to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, where Gilbert is listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Gilbert, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Yes, how you doing, sir? I've been addicted to heroin for many, many years, but I've been a believer in Jesus of Nazareth probably all my life, but really didn't take it so seriously until about a year ago. I start, praying more and all that, but in the last couple of months, I've been reading the Bible, writing down scriptures, trying to remember, and I was just wondering, have you ever heard any stories of anybody that prays to the Lord Jesus Christ and their addiction, was gone?
Wake up one.
wake up one day and your addiction is gone?
I have heard of miraculous stories of such. I would say that more often, though, it doesn't work out just like that. Usually it requires God will move mountains, and he asks us to pick up the shovel. And, oftentimes when we're battling an addiction, which has such a strong hold on us physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that, praying our addiction away is not the full extent of the answer. And I don't want to diminish the power of prayer at all. But I do know that, a lot of times we can have this attitude that, I don't need to, all I need to do is just pray to God and that will solve it. Or I hope that solves it. Or if I just prayed 10 more Hail Marys last night, that I won't be challenged by my addictions today. And, getting to meetings, connecting with other people, putting ourselves out there is an essential part of the solution.
Gilbert, if you'll hang on, we have to take a quick break. I will be happy to give you a follow-up with Scott Wieman if you like. It's up to you. Hang on if you'd like to. Scott Wieman, our guest. We're talking addiction and recovery on Catholic Answers Live. Many people have forgotten just how revolutionary the Bible creation stories are. But the first three chapters of Genesis are a powerful challenge to anyone in any generation who would undervalue human lives. In the Beginning, the new book by Monica Migliorino-Miller will take you on a fantastic journey through the first chapters of Genesis, unfolding the richness of life as God sees it. Get In the Beginning today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What was the church like in its infancy? In a word, Catholic. And Joe Heschmeyer has the receipts. In his best-selling book, The Early Church Was the Catholic Church, he gives you the details from the historical records of the first two centuries of Christianity. Right now, get a copy for just $10, plus free shipping if you live in the continental United States. Get more information and order The Early Church Was the Catholic Church at theearlychurchwascatholic.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. The 12 steps and the sacraments. Come on. It's the easiest thing. And I always start out wrong and go down the wrong road and I can't recover. I can't backpedal and get out of it. The 12 steps and the sacraments is Scott Wieman's book. CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can go to find out about all the stuff Scott and the other folks at Catholic in Recovery do and have put together to help those who are dealing with addiction and recovery, whether in the family, whether in the friend group, whether with oneself. It can be very, very helpful. I will suggest if priests are looking for a resource, there are online meetings. There are, would you say, 75 different online meetings now?
Yep, going each week.
And so it's something that to share with the parishioners or to the person in crisis who might come and need a place to be heard and to find community. You can just call Scott right now if you want to talk, 888-318-7884. But we're talking with Gilbert in Milwaukee right now. Gilbert, a long time addiction to heroin, asking about, has Scott ever heard of someone just asking Jesus to heal their heroin addiction and just waking up and finding out that the addiction was gone? And I said I'd come back to you for a follow-up to Scott's answer, Gilbert. Did you want to continue the conversation?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely.
Okay, go ahead.
And but I really believe that Jesus could remove the addiction, because I pray, and there's times that I should be, you know, sick, and I'm not for days, but the boredom in my life or something like that makes me go back. The temptation of the devil makes me go back to it.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, and I ask God to fight the temptation of the devil, you know, and all that.
Scott?
You were seeing signs.
Yeah, Gilbert, I really appreciate you sharing and reaching out. I think this is an opportunity that Jesus is giving, and I don't want to discount. Jesus can do whatever he chooses to do. And I think this is an opportunity for you to, or anyone in a similar situation, to cooperate with the grace that Jesus is giving us, you know, to truly not only, you know, live our prayer life and be devout in our prayers, but also to live out and to be active in our faith, to connect with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, who have been empowered just like you are empowered to share a message of hope. And, you know, I think that I think that the proof really is in the fruit. And, you know, if you're continuing to pray but failing to take any action cooperate with the grace, which I'm not discounting the actions that you're taking, but, you know, this is an opportunity for you to, I know it's, you know, a lot of things stand in our way of seeking help or connecting with other people who have been through similar things, shame, fear, resentment, all those things, isolation, you know, can certainly stand in our way of taking that step of faith and taking action. This is a program not just changing our thoughts so that our behaviors will change, but changing our behaviors so that our thoughts will change, and connecting, and you know, as a result, you'll be empowered to share a message of hope with others who, you know, just like people can share a message of hope with you.
I'm going to say thanks, Gilbert. I hope that is helpful to you. Again, I'll just give out the website for anybody who would like to visit it, CatholicInRecovery.com. On we go. There are two lines open, however, and if you'd like to talk about addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Chris is in Des Moines, Iowa. Chris, thank you for the call. Go ahead with your question.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, good. So the reason I called is I'm going to summarize what happened to me. If it helps somebody out there that's in a dark place listening, then it was worthwhile. And there were several miracles involved. There's been a lot of prayer and reunited with the Catholic Church. I hadn't gone to church mass since I was a kid. So I was a firefighter in the Gulf War in the Navy. Escalated, I'm going to summarize. It escalated to where I was drinking for 2 years straight. I was drinking 3 bottles of Jack a week. I've been sober 10 months now. I had started to use pornography. I haven't used pornography in 2 months. I'm just going to share what happened to me and what I do to not go back to it. So simply, I went to a Bible study. It was 13 weeks. Got done with that. That started pushing me in the direction towards God. It was a men's Bible study. When that was over, I was still drinking. And one day, I got so sick from drinking that I was hungover for a week. Well, I looked it up. It was basically the first signs of fatty liver disease. And I said, no way, I'm done. I'm too sick. I can't do this anymore. So I went through withdrawal symptoms. I was going through the shakes. Started saving money. I started eating a lot, losing weight. My metabolism kicked back on. And then I just kept praying and praying and praying. And I shook the alcohol through prayer. Then, but I was still doing the pornography. Then what I did is one day, God did it. I didn't do it, honestly. One day, this is where the stuff gets kind of, it's not weird, it's miracles. So I'm just going to tell you what happened to me. First thing that happened was a Catholic at work gave me a book, and it said Padre Pio prayer book. He goes, how long has it been since you've been to Mass? And I said, I don't know. I can't remember. I've been praying, though. And so he gave me this book, because my foot was so swollen up, it wouldn't fit in my shoe. So I went home and I prayed the prayer. I got up off my knees in my living room, and I instantly heard a pop, and my foot went back from a pain, a 10 to 2, and the swelling went down instantly. This happened in seconds after praying this Padre Pio prayer. And the next day I went to work fine. I was walking fine. So you bet I went to mass. That led to, I hurt my back. I prayed the Padre Pio prayer. I jumped in bed. I could barely walk. The next day I worked 9 hours like a 16-year-old kid, slept two, worked an additional 9 hours, and I was completely healed. At this point, I'm like, I got to be paying attention to this. So I went to an hour-and-a-half long confession and went all the way back to Catholic school when I left Catholic school in fifth grade, and I confessed everything I could remember because now God's got my attention. I started praying more rosary. I started praying saint prayers, Padre Pio prayers. I started doing the Divine Chaplet. I went into the Adoration Chapel, and I started, there were some other prayers, too, that I prayed to, additionally to that. I think one, a lot of it was the St. Michael prayer, some Holy Spirit prayers. And I ended up having a dream, and in the dream, I was on a hill hanging onto a cross, and I was a full-grown man, and my clothes got little, and I was hanging onto the cross, and my clothes got big, excuse me, all of a sudden on me, and I was a little kid. And Jesus was there. And he said, it's going to be okay. And I don't remember my dreams, but I remembered that one. And I woke up in a cold sweat. I prayed the rosary again, and the next morning, right outside my window, was a dove staring at me. And I haven't seen it since. It was a mourning dove, not like a white dove in the Bible, but a fat mourning dove just staring at me. Never seen that dove since, but it happened. Then what I did is I kept having these urges about pornography and sex. And I'm like, you know what? I've been going 2 weeks. I've been going a week. And I see a pretty woman and I think about sex and I'm not going to do this anymore because he's been too good to me. So I started praying St. Agnes prayers, purity saint, St. Joseph, purity saint prayers. And then I started asking St. Michael to protect me from the devil every time I had any type of urge. And I continued to pray, got it all out of confession. And now it's been 2 months since I've looked at pornography, you know, even thought about it. I haven't looked at it.
Chris, I'm going to hang on a second, because I love your story, but I really do want to get Scott Wieman involved here. So let me get Scott to comment a bit on what you've said so far.
Yeah, well, Chris, it sounds like you're grateful. And, you know, I'm reminded this is how Jesus works. This is how Jesus worked while he was here present on earth, you know, working a miracle to get people's attention. But, you know, it just didn't just stop with the miracle. That was an invitation to, you know, perhaps be in awe and to get our attention. And sometimes he goes to great lengths, you know, incredible lengths, miraculous lengths to get our attention, even still today. And, you know, whether it's, the miraculous healing that you've experienced around alcohol use or pornography use or, you know, some physical ailments that you've been challenged with, it sounds like he has done an effective job of getting your attention.
Chris, go ahead.
Okay. I'm saying, if it helps anybody listening, you know, okay. And every time I have a bad thought, I go to the rosary about sex. I go to St. Michael. I go to St. Agnes, St. Joseph. There's purity prayers for that. And I pray, and I remember what he did for me. And because I'm loyal, I know he suffered for me. I suffered through it, and it passes. It passes. If it's a half hour of urges, it passes, and then I'm okay, but I have to pray about it. And now I'm close to God, and all I do is pray these prayers, the Agnes, St. Agnes, St. Michael, and I pray to St. Joseph.
Well,
then
praise God.
To get promoted. I mean, that's what's happening. That's how I deal with it. I deal with specific prayers about my problems, like each saint's got to.
Well, praise God, Chris.
You started by saying if it helps anybody else, I think, Chris, that it probably is very, very helpful. I mean, I do think we have to share with other people what God has done for us. That's the least we can do, given all that he's done for us, is share it with other people. I'm very grateful that you did. If you would like a book that we have here, it's called Secrets from Heaven, and it's about the parables and sayings of Jesus. It's a book that I love, and I love to give it to people. If you'd like it, just hang on the line. I have to take a quick break. We will be right back with more conversation about addiction and recovery with the founder of Catholic in Recovery, Scott Wieman, right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Catholic in Recovery, a wonderful, wonderful ministry, an apostolate within the Catholic Church that's been growing and growing in recent years. And a few times a year, what are we up to, about four times a year you come here?
Yeah, four or five.
Four or five times a year. We love having Scott Wieman here. And this is not like any other hour we do, Scott. Mm. We have no other hour like this. And I am so happy when this hour comes around. And if you've got questions about addiction and recovery, you can go to CatholicInRecovery.com or you can pick up the phone right now and talk to Scott, 888-318-7884, going to Idaho, Maritza in Idaho. You are next. Welcome, Maritza. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yes, I do have a question. I wanted to know, with mental health and addiction, and what is the connection with just moral sin and venial sin? Is it out of your control? Is it in your control? How does it affect your culpability?
Yeah, Maritza, would you give a little bit more background to that? I think I kind of hear two questions here. What's the overlap between mental health and addiction recovery? And are we powerless, or do we have any power over sinfulness?
Does that sound right, Maritza?
Well,
with regard to mortal sin.
Yeah, just I want to know how that kind of addiction recovery impacts the culpability, because like you, you're sick and you feel like it's not you that's making the decisions. So when you're going to go to confess your sins to a priest, what does it feel like?
Yeah.
Okay.
I appreciate that, Maritza. Yeah, thank you. And I think that you're using the right term there, culpability. Culpability and responsibility and accountability, although, you know, similar in nature, have some subtle differences to them. You know, and we believe, you mentioned the word disease. I believe that addiction, you know, there is a point where we go from a vice to addiction. And that's a very fine line that we can get into that, certainly. But that once we have become a pickle, once a cucumber becomes a pickle, it can never become a cucumber again. And that there is a spirit that addiction, whether alcoholism, drug addiction, food, lust, gambling, compulsive hoarding or cluttering, you name it, we can go on and on, is a spiritual disease. And it's also a spiritual family disease. And that, which does not preclude us from taking responsibility to seek action, but it does speak to the spiritual ramifications that there is a, we have lost our will in some ways. Now, I would still go, you know, if that's something that you're struggling with, I would, that does not give permission to not bring this up within the confessional. But perhaps, you know, I think that we are responsible for taking the necessary actions to overcome these things and to recognizing the consequences of our challenges related to addiction. Those consequences have not only personal consequences in our own ways, you know, certainly the behaviors that surround our addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, such as dishonesty or deceitfulness or, you know, all the other things that might keep us from being the best we can be or distant from God, perhaps, those are things that we also need to address. And But, you know, certainly bringing that to the confessional and seeking guidance from a priest and absolution from a priest is necessary. There's a great, I think this is a, you know, very deep theological discussion that probably some regular guests on Catholic Answers Live would do a better job of describing and explaining from a theological perspective. But I do believe that what you're talking about is a state of powerlessness, and that's the first step. We admitted that we are powerless over fill in the blank, alcohol, drugs, lust, gambling, that our lives have become unmanageable. And it's with that, we need to first recognize that we are powerless, not as a means to distance ourselves from responsibility or accountability, but so that we can lead, so that it leads us into a relationship with the one who has all power. And we know him through, you know, as Jesus Christ, and we can experience him in the sacraments. We can experience him through our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can experience him through the Word. But let your recognition of your own powerlessness move you into action, into a deeper bond and unity with our Lord and with your fellow brothers and sisters.
Maritza, I hope that was helpful. I'm going to leave it there because there are still quite a few people on the line and just a short time left with our guest, Scott Wieman. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Mary in Missouri. Mary, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Hi. So I'm a parent of adult children. All three of my kids have some sort of addiction, and I'm estranged from them, and I'm really struggling with trying to remain hopeful, and I was really happy to hear about Catholic in Recovery. I think it's the second time I've listened to you on the program. Do you have any resources, like an Al-Anon type thing, but only from a Catholic perspective? Some of my friends are struggling with the same thing. They were raised in the church. I thought we were doing a good job catechizing our kids, and it seems. You don't want to dip into despair. You want to remain hopeful, but it's getting harder and harder. So I was just wondering if Catholic in Recovery has some family support that we could check into.
Yeah. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for calling. And I'm so sorry that you're experiencing the challenges of watching your adult children really suffer through the darkness of addiction. You're not alone. And I believe you recognize that you're not alone, but sometimes that experience can feel so isolating, and it can distance us from what help might be available. It can certainly even distance us from God. And, you know, family members, particularly parents of those struggling with addiction, will often, you know, that fear of what's going to happen next, and the lack of trust that might come as a natural result of experiencing a loved one who is struggling with addiction, lack of trust in God, lack of trust in ourselves or other people, and certainly even the resentment that might come from that is something that needs to be addressed. And so, yeah, I think that you're on the right, you're asking the right question of how do I find help for myself, recognizing your powerlessness in many ways over your adult children. Not that you're not powerless to love them and care for them and show them empathy and you know, love them exactly as who they are. But yes, it's essential that family members seek their own help. And so to answer your question, we do have resources and fellowships, groups available for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction. Virtual meetings exist. You'll find that on CatholicInRecovery.com, our full virtual meeting directory. I believe on Wednesdays, Wednesday evenings, afternoons, depending on where you are, and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Eastern time, we have meetings for family members impacted by a loved one's addiction, where the focus and the emphasis is not on how can I help my loved one get sober or clean or abstinent, but it's how can I best take care of myself, and how can I you know, in some ways detach with love, not detach just like by becoming distant, but detach from like trying to cause or trying to control, you know, their behavior or their addiction, which, you know, in many ways, and as many who have been through the situation realize, you know, attempts at control just go further and further at distancing yourself from them and maybe precluding them from finding their own help. And the obsession of most family members impacted by a loved one's addiction is that in some ways I caused this, I can control this, and it's my responsibility to cure this. But really what's best for you and for them is for you to find your own help and healing and freedom. And so we do have resources available, you know, a lot of the resource and fellowships available. So yeah, check that out on CatholicInRecovery.com. And in addition, we're going to be next spring publishing a rosary reflection book that is recovery rosary meditations for individuals and families impacted by addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. You know, and you know, some I love hearing the stories of those who are family members who have learned how to navigate their loved one's addiction and restore themselves to sanity or allow God to restore them to sanity, not dependent upon whether their loved one gets sober or not, but just finding the light come back on in themselves. So, Mary, our prayer is that that you might find that yourself.
Thank you. That's really helpful. I have this overwhelming sense of dread sometimes that evil has gotten a hold of my kids, and I like the other callers, I want Jesus to go, okay, it's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody go back to business as usual. But
yeah, it can happen.
That's why I'm seeking.
Yeah. Thank you. It can happen, but let's not rely on the miracle. I mean, let's rely on Jesus, but also he can move mountains, but let's pick up the shovel. I appreciate that, Mary. Thank you.
God bless you, Mary. Thank you. I know that your call was very helpful to many other people as well, so I'm very glad we were able to take that call. Let's go to Aaron in Boise, Idaho, listening on 1140 AM. Glad to have you here with us, Aaron. Go ahead with your question.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Very well.
Yeah.
All right, thanks. So I have been sober for 5 years, and by that I mean I haven't had a drink for 5 years. I started going to AA at first. I went for a few months, but I haven't been for a few years now. And so sometimes I find myself wondering, could I have a drink? And if I were to be able to drink in such a way that I'm in control and I'm just, you know, a normal person having a drink and I'm not drinking to intoxication or something, if I'm able to do that, could I still say that I'm sober? So that's my question.
Well, Aaron, what caused you to seek sobriety about 5 years ago in the first place?
Well, really, to be honest with you, it was legal trouble that I got into, and I realized that's just one incident too many, I was drinking too much, too often, and I was getting in trouble. So
would it be accurate to say that your drinking behavior was ruining your life?
It may be accurate to say that. I think it could have ruined it if I had continued. Yeah.
Well, I'm not here to tell you what to or to not do, but my suggestion would be that a drink might cause, a lot of ways to describe addiction. But they are, addiction or alcoholism in particular, there is a variety of factors, but one is the obsession of the mind, and that obsession can be reactivated with just a sip or one drink can reactivate that. I've heard so many stories of people who had long-term sobriety, thought to themselves that maybe I can drink again like a gentleman, and found themselves, I'm just going to have one drink, I'm going to have one drink a night, or they set some plans for themselves, and then their standards or the bar keeps getting lowered, and that one drink causes within them a mental obsession or a craving that was reactivated. And, this is a spiritual disease. This is also a progressive spiritual disease. So we don't just pick up right where we left off, but, it's said oftentimes in recovery that as we're, finding healing, our alcoholism or our addiction is outside the door doing push-ups, is also strengthening itself as well. And so I would strongly caution against taking that next drink. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous describes, and this has been my experience as well, whereas there were years where I was telling myself, I'm too young to be an alcoholic, I just need to learn how to control things a little bit better, or maybe just be more in touch with all the reasons that I have to not drink so much. But the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous describes that the abnormal drinker can neither enjoy and control their drinking at the same time. If I'm enjoying my drinking, I'm not controlling it, and if I'm controlling my drinking, I'm not enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the obsession of every abnormal drinker to do both. But unfortunately, once a cucumber has become a pickle, it can no longer become a cucumber again, in my perspective.
Aaron, thank you for the call. Thank you for everyone who called. I invite folks again to visit CatholicInRecovery.com. When the new book, Rosary book, comes out, will you come back in the spring and then I can mispronounce that one?
Absolutely. I'll be back before then, though.
Okay. Yes, you will. Well, you better come back around the holidays. We always have you on around the holidays.
We'll do.
That'll do it for us. We'll see you from the big Catholic Answers Conference tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.